Hi, everyone. It's Ryan Hoover, your host of Product Hunt Radio, where I'm joined by the founders, investors, and makers that are shaping the future of tech. Today, I'm visiting Shots HQ in Los Angeles to chat with its CEO, John Shahidi, aka @John on Twitter. John and Shots' team have a unique background. I met John and his brother, who's a co-founder in the company, about 5 years ago when they were building a social network for teens. It was an app that had no likes, no comments, no follower counts, quite different from many others that are out there. They really wanted to build a healthy social network for a younger audience. They've since pivoted and built a massive network of artists, comedians, and creators. This includes Alesso, Anwar, Rudy Mancuso, Lele Pons, Anita, and a bunch of others. And combined, they reach hundreds of millions of views on YouTube alone. On the podcast, John and I chat about how the entertainment industry has changed and how Vine had such a major impact and influence on this next generation of creators. But before I jump in, I want to give a shout out to our sponsors. Do you remember a time when you started working for yourself? It was certainly no small feat, and you've been insanely busy ever since. Our friends at FreshBooks are here to make things easier for freelancers like you. FreshBooks invoicing and accounting software is designed to save you time and all those terrible administrative tasks. Create and send professional-looking invoices in 30 seconds and get paid 2 times faster with automated online payments. Also, file expenses with ease to keep them perfectly organized for that lovely tax time. Go to freshbooks.com/producthunt and enter Product Hunt Radio in the How Did You Hear About Us section to get started. In addition to my day job at Product Hunt, I also invest in early stage startups through a fund I started. I called it Weekend Fund. At first, I was hesitant to invest in startups, worried that my time would get sucked away into back office management, LP tax reporting, and all the overhead that goes into managing a fund. Fortunately, AngelList Venture Services handle all that for me, so I can focus on finding and backing great entrepreneurs. So far, AngelList has hosted over 130 venture funds, ranging from $500,000 to several millions of dollars under management. The team is super knowledgeable, having supported hundreds of investors over the years, and eager to help fund managers plan a fundraising strategy. Once you've raised capital from LPs, you choose what startups to back, and AngelList handles the rest. If you're interested in investing in startups, take a look at angel.co/venturefunds or email me at ryan@producthunt.com and I'd be happy to help. All right. How's it going, John?
Hey, great. Great.
Good seeing you. It's been a year, 2 years?
I don't even remember. I mean, we talk a lot.
Yeah.
Especially on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good to see you. So, well, you mentioned Twitter. What's your Twitter handle? How did you get it? People have been asking.
Tell those people to mind their business.
What is your Twitter?
It's John.
John, first name club.
Yeah, I first name club, but I didn't originally get it. I think I was my full name, John Shahidi. And I went and the account was, I don't even remember, it was a long time ago. I don't remember if it was inactive or he was active. I bought it from him. I don't remember.
Yeah.
It was one or the other because my Instagram, same story. One of them I bought for like a couple $100 and the other one was inactive. I got it. It was because I'm Johnny on Instagram. So One was, I don't know which one was which. They were both a long time ago, but regardless, I wasn't like first 10 people on Twitter ever. Like, yeah. I wasn't that. Everyone was like, oh, yeah. My God, you were the first guy ever on Twitter. Like, no, I got
the
it.
First John on Twitter. Not
yeah,
quite.
Yeah, no, I think someone else had it or a bot got it. I don't know.
Yeah. Taking it way back. So we met back when you were working on Shots, the app.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we first launched it. 2013. Yeah. That's when we met.
You and Sam have been working together forever. Like, I don't know, decade plus probably. What's the history of Shots? Like, can you tell people more about that?
Yeah, actually, the company's 10 years old now. We initially actually started trying to do what we're doing now. We were trying to create content for YouTube, but scripted content with personalities on YouTube. You know, we start with Mike Tyson, Chad Ochocinco, Floyd Mayweather. We were getting ready to launch pages for Usain Bolt and Cristiano Ronaldo. It was a lot of work to get like athletes, like the guys who really have, you know, I mean, you know, athletes don't just commit to their sport during the season, but off season they're training and they also make a lot of money. So it's like, you know, back then trying to explain to them what the YouTube economics were just didn't sound that sexy to them. So yeah.
Especially,
you know,
when numbers were much lower.
Yeah, they were much lower.
Fewer people on the internet, fewer people on YouTube.
No one really understood. Back then, when I'm talking about 2009, 2010, no one really understood how important this was. And no one knew that the entire new generation would be consuming on YouTube way more than anywhere else. You know, no one would ever think that YouTube would be, back then, no one would, I mean, if we're talking about 10, 12 years ago now, no one would ever think that YouTube would be bigger than Major League Baseball. You know, like, no, you would never even think about it. But we started a little too early, and I think we started with some of the wrong people as well, because those who were committed weren't really connecting with the YouTube audience. And it's an issue actually we see right now as well with the celebrities and athletes and verticals outside of social media. You know, it's really hard, except for Will Smith. Will Smith is crushing it on YouTube.
He's great.
Yeah, but he's also – yeah, he's a pro, but he's also figured out how to be Will Smith – and how to cater to the YouTube audience at the same time. You know, it's just great because some of these celebrities, they like overdo it, overthink it, or some try too hard and go straight like, I'm going to be a YouTuber, you know, and, you know, it's just really off brand. Will Smith found the balance, and I think that's why he's crushing it.
Yeah. So you started with that direction, but then you moved into building the app, which is why pretty different. There's some slight overlap, but pretty different kind of direction. How'd that happen?
A few things. One is, we just felt that as we had this very broad vision of creating content, even though we hadn't nailed it yet, but we just knew we were going to nail it one day, we wanted to at least have a platform of our own as well, a place where we can actually control the design features, that we can have access to the data. You know, because you never know, right? When you get too dependent on some of these platforms, it takes one product change or algorithm change to take down the entire platform, and your entire business was built on this, and now it's down the drain. You know, because, you know, remember again, the Shots app came out in 2013, but we started development in 2011, which was right around the time when Instagram had launched, but also not too long after MySpace had just died. So, you know,
and shortly before Snapchat as well. So you had kind of like this changing shift of social media.
Yeah. So we wanted to be part of that change, and we want to learn from the MySpace mistakes of, like, you know, and we also didn't want to become like the MySpacers. There were famous people on MySpace, you know, like, and we just didn't want to be someone that was dependent on a network that, our destiny were in the, you know, in the hands of a few designers and developers in their offices. So we just said, you know, it's not safe to be dependent. So we weren't really nailing the content side yet. So we said, well, let's build a product. We have a general idea on how to create the content, but let's build a product and then let's go back to the content, which is what we did. And then we started creating the content, and the content was better than the product, because then now the product gets expensive. And, you know, one of the reasons why Shots app didn't really work is because we got too big and we couldn't handle it. Especially when we launched a video, we had 1 minute video early and people were uploading, because a lot of Vine creators were on our app, and it was a place for them to create something that was longer than 6 seconds on our platform, because this is before Instagram had video, and it was expensive. It's really expensive to host video, and we just couldn't do it. You know, You know, there were times where our app was down and all this. We're like, man, like,
that's stressful.
But we weren't big enough. We weren't at the level to go and raise crazy money for a social network. You know, we were in between the two, but the content was killing it, you know, which I know we'll get into in a sec. So that's one of the reasons we said, all right, you know what? This won't, you know, this is a distraction. You know, like, you know, it's a great idea to have our own platform. We've got the network effect. We've got the power. We've got the influence to scale this if we could raise the money, but it's also a big distraction from something else. You know, and at that point, I felt very confident in YouTube. I felt like YouTube at this point, YouTube and Instagram, but it's more YouTube. I felt confident that YouTube wasn't going to make those changes I was worried about in the beginning to ruin the platform.
Because they knew that they depended on the creators. And so YouTube, they've always had this kind of careful balance, I think, with their creators and their business and how to monetize.
They're great.
They depend on them.
Yeah, they're great. I mean, they listen, but also don't forget YouTube's design team is Google, right? So they'd already made some mistakes making some different changes on Google. You know, like these companies, people forget, like, you know, like Facebook and Instagram, right? Like Instagram doesn't make those crazy changes because it's those same teams that made those crazy changes on Facebook and made the Facebook experience too busy, too spammy, you know, too slow. You know, when they put games and all these other things, they've made those mistakes already. And that's why Instagram, you don't see if it's a change, it's a subtle change and it's done right. They really think through these design changes. Companies like Google, you know, with their other product, YouTube, companies like Facebook with their other product, Instagram. And that's why, like, I'm always like, okay, cool. So, you know, or Snapchat, right? If Snapchat were to create a whole new product right now, it would crush it. A whole new product.
What would it be? Let's say if you were running Snapchat, would you create a new app with something like a different experience, like for content consumption, or what do you?
I don't know if I would create it, because Facebook didn't create Instagram and Google didn't create YouTube. I would find someone on the rise and do what both these companies did, which is bought those other companies
acquire and assimilate.
Yeah. They bought them for a lot of money in our eyes, but almost no money, pennies compared to what they have. So I would try to, if I were Snapchat, I would try to find someone on the rise right now and try to acquire them and use the power Snapchat still has, use the cash, use the infrastructure, they have great servers, they have money in the bank, they have teams, like they have everything. They just don't have the product right now, Snapchat, which is, Facebook had the same issue. Facebook was, their mobile product was awful. It's still today, it's mediocre, but it was awful. And from 2000, whenever it launched to just a few years ago, like the Facebook mobile product was awful. Google really, Google is just a search engine. So, it's not, their mobile product's good, but it can't be bad. Whatever mistakes that they've made with product changes or maybe things that they try to launch like Wave and Google Plus, they've learned from all those mistakes to not make those mistakes with YouTube.
Yeah. So Vine, we were talking earlier, like Vine had such a major impact when it comes to like the internet creator space. Like, what are your thoughts on Vine and also just like this new generation of like creators that have kind of come over the past, 5-6 years?
Well, now that we're in the film and storytelling business, I'm just going to share with you some thoughts I have of Vine, because I think there's a whole film that could come out of Vine. There's a whole, quite honestly, a few people have reached out to me and asked if we've want to produce a movie about Twitter, like there was the social network for Facebook, or a movie about Instagram. I'm like, those stories aren't that great. Like, what's so great about the Twitter story? Like, okay, Snoop Dogg came by the office. But Vine's got a story. Vine has changed entertainment. I know, because I work with the biggest Viners. The biggest Vine stars now are the biggest artists in the world. Lele's Pons was, I don't remember if she was number one or number two at Vine. I think she was number two in following, but number one in views. But right before Vine shut down, she was, the biggest, especially on the female side. It was between her and King Batch. Now Lele's, she's a musician, right? She's playing at the AMAs. She's, her last single, Soloso, went 3x platinum in 4 countries and diamond in Mexico, which is a very hard market to go diamond. So Vine created stars like this. Shawn Mendes was a Viner. A lot of people don't know, but if you, search deeply, because you'll find Shawn Mendes was a Viner. Rudy Mancuso was a Viner. King Batch, who's on a dozen movies now, was a Viner. And Vine created this. Vine was so special because what Vine did that no one else did is it taught a very young audience how to create a story in 6 seconds, beginning, middle, and end. And version one of Vine didn't even allow camera uploads. You had to capture the entire moment.
It was more raw.
It was more raw. It was there. You had to use the Vine camera. So if you messed up on take two, you had to delete the whole thing and start over. So it taught people with the native Vine camera how to create a story, beginning, middle, and end, 6 seconds. That's some hardcore training. That's something like no film school can do. That's no class, no nothing can do. And Vine did that. And that's why it was really sad to see Vine go. And then now you see these other products where people are just lip syncing and doing whatever. It's like, there's no innovation to that. There's no creativity. There's no imagination, you really had to think through a Vine. And that's why people like Lele and Rudy are now doing films and movies and directing music videos and creating songs. I mean, both of them were actually musicians as kids. So, it's easy for them to make music. Not everyone could be a musician. But Lele and Rudy are, where people like Anwar and Hannah are working on TV shows for larger streaming platforms like Netflix. So that's what Vine did. Vine, just a whole new culture. Yeah, I mean, they cater to all cultures, white community, urban community, Latino community, worldwide. Like, it catered to all cultures. Now, Vine was huge in Japan. There was a whole wave of Japanese Viners that no one ever knew about.
Yeah.
Like, their whole way. And these videos I've seen in Japan, they put our videos to shame. That's what Vine did. And I think that's a great story that I think once.
I would watch a documentary. I grew up with a super high-8 Sony camcorder when I was a kid back in middle school, and I would film everything. And me and my friends would make little movies, and we would only share them with ourselves, and we'd make our parents sit through them. And I'd edit them down a little bit, with really janky tools, with what I had. And I didn't have YouTube. I didn't have Vine. I didn't have a smartphone. So I kind of came up in a time when it was harder to actually create content. I really wanted to. And tools like Vine and YouTube and all of these others, it's really inspiring because it's giving people access to be able to, one, create more easily, but two, have an audience or really get some sort of feedback. Because for me, I had no feedback loops outside of me and my friends and my parents saying, oh, Ryan, that's so funny. And you're so great job. But now you have, you know, people giving you feedback and view counts and things like that. We're already seeing like this new generation of like creators. And I'm curious to see how that affects, I don't know how to describe this, like mainstream traditional media, like movies and film, and like in 5-10 years, like, well, how do you see that changing? Like Netflix and Amazon and all these streaming services, like how do these more traditional like forms of entertainment, like long form entertainment, change as a result of this?
Well, the streaming platforms like the Netflix and Amazon and Hulu's, YouTube Premium, you know, they're in the business of minutes on platform. Like that's what they care about. They care about time on platform. So they don't care if it's an hour and a half movie or, you know, 10 episodes at 9 minutes each, which comes out to, you know, an hour and a half. They don't care. As long as people open up the app and stay on platform. So now you're seeing that. You're seeing the hour and a half movies, but you're also seeing, you know, a lot of 45-minute documentaries now. You're seeing, I forgot what was it, I want to say BuzzFeed. Someone launched 20 episodes at 10 minutes each on Netflix. There's 10-minute episode shows. You know, so there's...
I think Vox did it, Explained, I think is the name of the series. 10-15-minute series of videos that were diving into specific topics, whether it's like esports or...
On Netflix?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. See, that's Netflix, right? Like you would think when we first started talking to Netflix and starting pitching at Netflix 2 years ago, everyone's like, yeah, it's got to be 22 minutes to 30 minutes an episode. Like 22 minutes. Why? They're like, well, that's what a TV show is. Yeah. But with commercials, you know, like with commercials, it's still 30 minutes. So why does it have to be 22? Why that number? Why can't it be 20? You know, like it just doesn't make sense. And they said, well, that's the format. And I remember used to argue with these people who were setting up these meetings. I don't want to see their names because they're my friends, and I was right. They were wrong. But, you know, now you're seeing it. Now you're seeing like, you know, 10-minute episodes or 15-minute episodes, and you'll probably end up seeing 5-7-minute episodes. They just want you on the platform. That's all they want. You know, there's YouTube videos that people send me. They're 1 minute long. And you know, you text me videos sometimes. Like they're 1 minute long, 2 minutes long. And before you know it, I watch 20 other videos on YouTube thanks to that one link you sent me at 1 minute. So they just want you to open up the app. That's all they want. They want you to open up the app and then stay on. You know, and they know these are all machines serving this content. These aren't hand curated. These are all machines. So they know, okay, well, this one that he came through was watched through and then he went to something else. And after he watched this one, he watched 10 other things. So let's push this one to everybody else that's like him. They know. They know everything about us.
It's funny when a friend will send you a video, like earlier today, some of my teammates have sent this really weird ASMR video. And of course, once you watch one, now a bunch of ASMR videos show up in the feed as recommended.
They're smart. They're smart. Yeah.
Those algorithms, man.
Yeah. Some people are scared. I love it. I'm like, thank you. You know, now I open up YouTube and it takes me to home, which is not what I subscribe. It's just not trending. It's just what the machine knows that I want. And they're almost always right.
For me, it's great. It's both based on my listening or watching history, but it also does a good job of adding a mixture of content. I might be into, let's say, some startup tech stuff, and I'll see some startup tech videos, whether it's like This Week in Startups or Y Combinator's podcast videos, but then it'll also throw in like a bunch of other non-tech related things.
Really, and if you don't like something, like, so one night, me and Rudy Mancuso, we went out one night and we came back to my place and... We turned on YouTube, and I don't remember how it happened. I think whoever we went to dinner was talking about like government conspiracy videos on YouTube. So we came back and we're like, let's watch one. And we just put one on, and like 1 minute in, we fell asleep. And we both fell asleep on my couch, and 1 minute, and it kept playing and playing for the whole night. We slept like 5-6 hours, and it's like playing. So it must have played, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 videos, those, you know, few hours that we slept. And we woke up in the morning. We both were kind of like, oh, man, what happened? Like, well, we felt weird because subconsciously we're hearing these, like, crazy stories. Like, we're just like, Rudy's shaking. He's no joke. He's shaking. Whenever you do his podcast, ask him about this. He was literally shaking. He's like, I don't know what. I was like, bro, like, somehow, some way in our heads. Like, but what happened after that was my entire YouTube was all conspiracy videos being served to me, like, all these. But it just took a click of me just saying, not interested, like, 3 or 4 times. And now it doesn't, you know, now it's back to the things that I actually enjoy.
The no-code space has matured quite a ton since I was a kid. I actually built my first website using Dreamweaver. Nowadays, you can build advanced web apps without writing code using Bubble. Bubble launched on Product Hunt back in 2015. Now, more than 250,000 makers and companies have used Bubble to build marketplaces, social networks, CRMs, and more inside their browser. Check it out at bubble.is/producthunt to get started for free.
What are your thoughts on TikTok? So TikTok is you know, blowing up. It's, I think their most recent public report was 250 million DAU in China alone. They're probably up to a billion MAU, I'd imagine, at this point. Of course, TikTok is very similar to Musical.ly, which is very similar to Mindy before that. What are your thoughts on that platform?
I love Mindy.
Me too. I just saw Greg, one of the founders, last week, actually, one of the founders of Mindy. And that app was so
amazing. You know, we bought Mindy.
I know.
But we didn't do anything with it. Sam wouldn't let me.
Wouldn't let you.
No. Sam was like, no apps for a while, but I still think about it. I just thought about it like 2 days ago.
Can you bring
it
back? Can you bring
me back? I've been thinking about it, man. I really want, but you know, if you rewind this 10 minutes ago, you'll hear that my voice, I'm afraid of social networks, but I know what to do with Mindy. I know what to do with Mindy. I know how to bring it.
Yeah.
I mean, we have the content. We have hours. I mean, I don't even know. Thousands of hours of content that we've uploaded, and imagine what we haven't uploaded, the outtakes. I mean, we have so much content that we can make Mindy only about Shots creators. The 7 creators we have, we could literally make it about that, and we could, you know, and then not to mention our extended network, some of our really close friends that we don't represent, but we work with, you know, from like, say like a J Balvin or Post Malone or, you know, Diplo, you know, some of these other guys, you know, it's like, we could just fill that thing up. It could be vertical content. It could be something very, very, I mean, it wouldn't be the lip syncing that TikTok and Musical.ly do. I don't know if TikTok's still like that, but Musical.ly was. It wouldn't be that. It would be more like premium content if we were to bring Mindy back. But I don't know. Let's think about it. Let's maybe me and you talk about it and figure out how to convince my brother. He's just, my brother, when he gets focused on something, he's like hyper-focused. He doesn't want to hear nothing. And that's what's great, you know, because I'm the creative guy who's always thinking about outside the box ideas. But then he's the one that's like, nope, we got to, you know, we're on this train and we're got to get to our destination.
Are you creating content on TikTok though, now that it's kind of hit some level of scale?
Not yet. I mean, going back to my brother being focused, and all of us as a company is, you know, we're growing so much on YouTube. We're growing so much on Instagram. We have a pre-existing really big following on Twitter and Facebook, but we haven't really done anything content-wise. You know, I mean, we use Twitter and Facebook for promoting whatever we have, or, you know, tweeting just thoughts. But, you know, like, I think there's a big opportunity for Twitter video. And I mean, we could, again, going back to all the footage that we have, like, we could just create pages that just, you know, just would be probably some of the biggest Twitter video pages out there overnight, you know. So we have all these other opportunities right now, you know, and not to mention our relationships with Spotify, with Apple Music, with Netflix. And those relationships are really spearheaded by doing differentiated content. You know, when we talk to Spotify and Apple, it, you know, more of our conversations, believe it or not, with both those platforms are video related. So, you know, and those are other opportunities, especially since music is a big part of our business. So we have so many different platforms right now that we're either, we have the momentum, or we're big, but we just need momentum, or we need, right? Like, we need to be big on Apple Music and Spotify, you know? So because there's so many of these platforms right now, TikTok, not yet. I do know that they have a new team there. I actually have a couple of really good friends that have gone over there recently, which is interesting because they're really smart people. So, you know, if they figure out how to build the right teams, and these guys were at other places and they figured it out there. So if they could do what they did in other places at TikTok, I'd be interested, but not right now. It's not on our, like, top 10 list of platforms yet.
Yeah. Are you doing much in around video on Spotify?
Yeah. We will not deliver a song to Spotify with at least one vertical video and a feature that they now have called Canvas, which is a 3 to 8 second looping video that replaces album art.
Those are rad.
Yeah. So if you check out any song by Lele, Lele has 3 songs out on Spotify. They all have canvases. I think Alessio has like 6 or 7 songs. I know Remedy, Heroes, Cool, I Want to Know. Like they all have canvases. So, you know, we've created for them and they're fun. They're fun to create. Then they're, you know, it takes us back to the Vine days, right? They're like 3 to 8 second looping videos and all ours are things 6 seconds and under. So they're literally vines that we're creating.
They're like more artistic vines in a way that artistic in the sense that they're more abstract and looping and less of a story.
Yeah. Like the ones that we actually, what's funny is for the, I mean, and that's what's cool about Canvas is, I made them. I made all of our canvases. Yeah. And I made them sitting in this room on my phone, finding footage on my iPhone, downloaded a couple of these Cartoonify apps, chopped them up and used the Spotify for Artists app and just uploaded them. And it's just like, so, I mean, I made them, not our amazing award-winning production team, you know, me, like I just sat here. I was like, I'm not going to bother them. Like, this is too easy. Like, you know, let the teams focus on the more premium stuff that we're making and vertical videos. So we do with every single song that Lele, Alesso, Anita, and Rudy create, there's an official music video, but there's a vertical video that we deliver to Spotify. In some cases, we make multiple vertical videos. For Alesso's Remedy, we made 5 different vertical videos that were all mood themes to cater to people with different moods. So like one was for the EDM dance fan. One was the teen fan. One was the person that wanted exercise. You know, like we had all these different moods videos to cater towards these different moods that helped Remedy get to, I think, over 100 million streams on Spotify because it just created that engagement.
Yeah, that's cool. So switching gears a little bit, I'm curious to know, like, what types of products do you love or apps do you love? Is there something on your home screen that, you know, you want to, that more people should know about? Or I don't know, what do you usually use?
You know, I download apps all the time, but I don't keep them.
It's not uncommon. Most people have only 4 or 5 apps they use regularly, like on a daily basis.
Google Drive, Google Keep. I downloaded Pocket Cast for podcasts.
Oh, yeah?
Have you heard of it?
I have, yeah.
I actually really like it. There hasn't been a podcast app that I fall in love with. I use some for convenience. Like Spotify is very convenient because I listen to all my music on Spotify. So
you aren't doing any podcasts right now, are you?
Not yet.
What would it be about? How would you structure it? Because it feels like there's this category of podcasts, which they're like tech podcasts, kind of like this. There's talk shows, there's politics, there's sports. But there's not as much like entertainment podcasts out there. It feels like, other than comedians, there's a bunch of comedians, like stand-up comedians.
So we're going to experiment something different with podcasts. We're going to do podcasts kind of like we did our YouTube videos. You know, when we got onto YouTube, which was a time where a lot of different content creators were getting on YouTube, you know, they were, you know, either just leaving Vine, so their video content was homeless, so they were moving it to YouTube. But you know, when they were going to YouTube, they couldn't figure out from 6-second sketches to 3-minute sketches, so they would vlog instead. We never did that. We figured out how to create sketches, and that's what made Shot Studios different than any other YouTube network out there. That's what makes us different than any other YouTube network out there. You know, there's a lot of YouTube networks, you know, YouTube networks, MCNs, enterprise companies, what do you call them? But no one could figure out how, you know, when we looked at it, we didn't look at it as being a YouTube network and being a bunch of YouTube pages. You know, we talked about collaborations, premium content, chemistry. You know, these are the different things that we looked at. We didn't look at it as, you know, we're the next Maker Studios or Awesomeness TV. We looked at ourselves as the next Saturday Night Live. You know, let's create a bunch of these fun sketches. Let's collaborate. Let's have fun. Let's focus on comedy with a touch of music, which is what Shot Studios is. You know, even though we're really big in the music space now, it's only because our comedy was so big that we made our music big, like Saturday Night Live, you know, with the special musical guest.
I used to love SNL. As a kid, I'd you know, wait until 11:30 or whenever it came on, and me and my friends would have sleepovers and watch SNL.
Same.
And then YouTube came out, and that's kind of where most people started consuming these skits, you know, in bite-sized chunks. And now, I don't know anyone that watches SNL at night on TV anymore.
Yeah,
at least not among my friends. I'm sure there are people watching.
Yeah, I think the Donald Trump's sketches really saved SNL. So that's how we did YouTube, and that's what made us, you know, with 24 billion minutes consumed in 2018 with 7 channels. You know, like that's not normal. You know, there's networks out there with 1,000 channels not getting that. So that's what we did with YouTube visually. And that same mindset is what we want to do with podcasts. You know, we don't want to go and create the next tech podcast or news podcast. You know, we want to do something that's very different than anything else that's out there and stand out. Is it going to work? I don't know. Cause I actually had a little experience with video. That's why, you know, we had a little competitive advantage when we launched YouTube, but I don't really have that much experience when it comes to audio only. When it comes to this style of audio, obviously we have a lot of experience with creating music. We're going to test some things out, but whatever we do is going to be different. Very, very different. And I think we'll be launching something, you know, maybe in the next 3 to 6 months. You know,
cool.
Definitely by the end of summer for sure.
Nice. What are some of your favorite podcasts that you listen to? Are there some that stand out that are in your normal rotation?
There's not one that stands out. I usually listen to podcasts, random podcasts based off topics. You know, I'll search whatever it is. It could be the crisis in Venezuela, you know, and I'll search something and stumble across a New York Times podcast. I'll just search psychology sometimes and come across something by like NPR, PBS about the creative brain and how the brain functions. Came across a ping pong, the history of ping pong the other day. Came across a random Mike Tyson one with an interview, which was just funny. So it just really depends on my mood. And I just search podcasts based off like a topic I'm interested in that moment versus like there hasn't been one podcast where I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait till the next episode comes out. Like at least not for me. I know there's a lot of people that on the subscribe, but you know, yeah. But I'm not like that. Even on YouTube, I'm not like that. There's no like channel other than ours that I'm like religiously tuned in. It's, you know, I just watch different YouTube videos based on like whatever I was watching.
There, I have a podcast for you that I think you'll dig. It's called Song Exploder. Have you heard of it?
No, I'm going to search it right now.
So it's Song Exploder. Every episode is about an artist and a song, and it basically goes deep into how they created it.
I heard about this.
Yeah, yes. It's super cool. There's one with – my favorite is the one with John Hopkins. I don't know if you know his music, but he's an electronic DJ, and he goes deep into his whole process and philosophy. And as you start hearing and learning about the process of creating the song, it kind of transforms the way you listen to the song. It gives you more color and context, kind of the same way that – if you go to a museum and you understand, you know, why this artist created this in a certain way, it's really good. I think you'd dig it.
Yeah, I'm checking it out now.
Yeah.
Somebody, I think my brother told me about this one because he had a similar idea before he knew about this and someone bursted his bubble. But he had an idea with Alesso because Alesso, obviously, you know, we represent, but Alesso is a musical genius. You know, that's why every single song by Alesso is made by Alesso. You know, he doesn't have a ghost producer or anything. He makes everything from scratch. So what happens is he really gets into like there'll be times we're in the car together, man. And it's like, he'll say, hey, you want me to break down why Rockstar by Post Malone was so big? I'm like, sure. And 40 minutes later, he's breaking down every part. No, and the bridge came in here and the chorus, and there's a double chorus. I'm like, what's a double chorus? You know, that's some of the most unique things that's barely ever happened. You know, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You know,
you should do a podcast with Alesso where he breaks down songs. I think
that's what Sam wants to do. But Sam, then someone said this one that you were talking about is too similar. So then it kind of, you know,
I think there's room.
Might be, but you know, or even if. Even if Alesso like randomly did it sometimes, or maybe he went on someone else's podcast and said, hey, I'm going to do it. You know, I think there's definitely something there because it's really, really interesting with Alesso. You know, it's like, I mean, sometimes with Alesso with me, he'll hit me off guard, you know, when I'm not in the mood, right? Like I might be, you know, I might have just had a 4-hour board meeting, you know, and I'm done, you know, my brain's fried and my brain's on the other side on my analytical, shifted on the analytical side. It'll call about these kind of things. So, you know, sometimes like, I don't want to hear this right now, but there is an audience out there that would want to hear it at that moment. I think that's where Alesso could really cater to them.
Yeah. I would dig it. Like I used to write, kind of like product teardowns, and they're sort of for myself to like understand why Mindy was so awesome and why Snapchat is so interesting and why Tinder is so like addicting for some people. And I would love that for music. Like what's break this down for me? Like why is a song so damn good? I would love to listen to more of that. What's coming next? Like and where can people find you? What can you plug?
It's hard to say what's next because you know, whatever is next, we're still thinking about it, you know, and we always think till the last very moment before we launch anything. So until we do that, you know, what we have in front of us and what we've built with Shot Studio since our first channel launched in April 2016. Our Aqua Puppets launched in October 2015 with the Justin Bieber interview. But then after that, we had a little break and then we launched Lele's channel, April 2016, everything's been so explosive that we're just really focused, you know, on that. You know, like we're just really focused on just, you know, when they say, you know, when you strike oil, keep drilling, you know, and that's kind of where we've been in. But in this business, this entertainment business, you always have to be evolving. You know, that's why you see a lot of these vlog channels dead. You know, some of the biggest vlog channels in the last 3-4 years are all just falling with no parachute right now. So we never want to go that route. And the reason why is there's no innovation. There's nobody really, you know, and that's what Sam and I do with our team is like always push, always pitch new ideas. We have a whole, and that's not just me and Sam, we have a whole production team that's just, doesn't just stand behind the camera or hold a mic stick. They're pitching ideas. You know, what would be funny? What? Do this. You know, like these type, they're always pitching, you know, we only have 2 script writers, you know, but we upload anywhere from 5 to 10 videos a week. So it's not just the 2 script writers, not just the creators. It's our entire staff that's pitching ideas. And because of that, and we're open to it. It's not like, no. You have no right to give any input. You go film and go film only, which is how it happens on Hollywood sets, right? Yeah. Like you give an actress their script. They have no say of changing thing unless it's like, you know, Jennifer Lawrence or someone really big who could go and walk, Matt Damon could walk in and be like, I'm not saying this. They could say that, but most can't. We don't have that mentality here. It's, you know, there's just pitch ideas. So if it's not good, we're not going to say it. If it's great, thank you. And because of that, we're just evolving. And right now when we're in this flow and we're just keep evolving, we're keep growing. Now we're looking at these other platforms that I listed and taking that same style of content, stylizing it for their platforms like Instagram, right? Like Instagram, IGTV is a whole different format, shot differently, stories told differently. You know, and we're still learning the product as the product's evolving. We're learning with Instagram.
You're basically evolving along with them.
We're evolving along with them. Yeah. And they're great to work with. And because of that, you know, but we're growing. You know, we're growing because we're figuring it out. And therefore, you know, if you look at someone like Lele or Hannah, they're adding anywhere from 15,000 to 30,000 new followers a day, every day on Instagram. And it's because of the content. You know, it's because the content is out there. It's engaging. It's being shared. It's hitting the discover section. They're getting new followers. And now Lele, you know, today, I think she's about to hit 33 million followers on Instagram, but it's because of the content. It's not because of any other reason. It's not just happening. It's because of the consistency and the evolution of the content.
Yeah. I need to step in my game. I got like 4,000 followers on Instagram. I got work to do.
More podcasts and take the snippets, upload it. You know, that's why we have these cameras here. We could provide you with, you know, I don't know what we'll do with these cameras, but I asked our team to come and film this because
this is being filmed, so we have some video footage here as well.
Yeah, we'll figure out what we'll do with it. But, you know, I only see Ryan once every few years, so I'm gonna start capturing these moments for something
for the documentary that you're gonna build.
Yeah,
love it.
Yeah,
cool. Thanks for having me, John.
Of course,
good seeing you, Johnny.
Yes, I'm here.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week, but in the meantime, share the podcast with your friends on Twitter and tag a guest you'd like to hear in a future episode. See you soon.